live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me as well on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Coming up 20 minutes from now, former Louisville star, won a national championship. We recognize it. The NCAA may not. He was also the outstanding player of that Final Four, and that is Luke Hancock is going to join us in 20 minutes from now. And then at the top of the hour at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time, we will be joined by Ryan Hot Take Hickey. So he'll join us for his weekly chat. I got to start off with some news from earlier this morning. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. The Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls on J.J. McCarthy, telling other teams they are moving forward with him as their quarterback, sources say. The team plans to add a veteran, but they are not, once again, they are not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. So, I read that tweet, and I do believe that J.J. McCarthy, as long as he's healthy, and right, he doesn't suffer another injury, is going to be the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback come week one, right? I have sat here. I have said that for the last few weeks. I have not wavered off of it. I have believed that the Minnesota Vikings are not going to go on out there and bring in Aaron Rodgers. That's what I've said. And I have not wavered off of it. Now, Aaron Rodgers is right, the desperate guy here. He is trying to talk to the really attractive girl, and he's hoping to secure a date. The really attractive girl, though, in this case, told Aaron Rodgers, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm good. You know, you're washed up. You're a little bit too old for me. I'm not interested in you. That's what transpired right here. This is not, oh, Aaron Rodgers told the Minnesota Vikings no. For right now, the Vikings told Aaron Rodgers no. But even with what I just said, how I've always believed J.J. McCarthy was going to be quarterback one for the Minnesota Vikings, and I didn't think they would actually sign Aaron Rodgers because it didn't make sense to me. It really didn't. But I read this Pelissero tweet, and even with what I just said, the wording of the tweet, and I hate to do this because the Rodgers stuff just never ends, but the wording of the tweet makes me say, hold on. I don't know if we could lay to rest the conversation of Aaron Rodgers potentially going to Minnesota. Because the first part of this tweet would say, okay, put the nail in the coffin on the idea of Aaron Rodgers going to the Vikings. When it's the Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls and J.J. McCarthy telling other teams are moving forward with him as their quarterback, sources say. If that was it, this is done. This is over with. This is finished. But when it's followed up, space, new line, next paragraph, the team plans to add a veteran, but they are not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. Those two things make me say, maybe this isn't over. So they're not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time, and McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. So what could change here? Could McCarthy get hurt, and then they swoop in and get Aaron Rodgers? Sure. Could they maybe not like what they see in the offseason from McCarthy? If Rodgers is still out there, could they swoop in? Sure. But maybe this has to do with financials. I'm just throwing this out there. I will preface this by saying I did not talk to anyone about this. This is total speculation. But I would assume that Aaron Rodgers still wants to be paid a pretty penny, right? You would assume that. So is Aaron Rodgers, right? One report was $90 million over 2 years is what the Giants are supposedly offering him. And then he would be willing to take a little bit less from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the Minnesota Vikings, why they're going to J.J. McCarthy is for two reasons. Number one, they just used a 10th overall pick on him last year. But also, the Minnesota Vikings, the last few years, have basically built their team telling you, we're not going to pay Kirk Cousins. We got Justin Jefferson. We got Jordan Addison. We added in T.J. Hockenson. We added in Aaron Jones. Right? They just made that trade for Jordan Mason, which I think is going to be a good move with how little they paid to go get him via trade. And we're going to build the team. And for right now, we're not going to tie ourselves up with a quarterback that has a big salary. So did Minnesota maybe have a conversation with Aaron Rodgers? And they asked Aaron Rodgers, what is it going to take on a one-year deal? And maybe Rodgers or his representations, you know, his representatives, they threw out a number. And Minnesota's like, no, we'll go for JJ on his second year of a rookie contract instead of paying Aaron, I don't know, $35, $40 million a year. You know, or maybe north of that. But if Aaron comes back to them after getting told, we're not interested for now, is Aaron going to come back to them and say, hey, maybe I'll give you a huge discount because if I go to the Steelers, the best I could do there is win a playoff game. If I go to the Giants, I'm going to be running for my life and I'm just going to be chucking and praying that Malik Nabers is going to be on the other side of the field, down the field to catch the football. So could Aaron Rodgers potentially call up Minnesota, directly call up Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and say, forget about my representation. Forget about my agents. I want to be a Minnesota Viking. I want to be there for 1 year. I want to throw the football to Justin Jefferson. I want to throw the football to Jordan Addison. I want to hand the football off once again to Aaron Jones. I want to throw the football to T.J. Hockenson. I want to beat up on the Chicago Bears again. Sorry, Chicago. You know, I want to go win the division up against Detroit, right? Could he potentially say, you know what? You know, I want to go up against Green Bay twice a year. Could he potentially say, I'll do it at a ridiculously low price? You know, I don't know if it's the Russell Wilson veteran minimum, but this isn't about the money. I guess it's possible. But do I think Aaron Rodgers has the ego to do that? Probably not. But I do think it is still a very small possibility. And here's the funny part. The other day, I thought there was no chance he would go to Minnesota. And now I'm sitting here saying, well, just the wording of this Pelissero tweet, maybe it leaves open a little small chance, a little sliver of hope of Aaron still going to Minnesota. Because that back end of that statement, the team plans to add a veteran, but they're not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. The first part where it's like, oh, they're rejecting trade calls. They're making McCarthy the guy. They're not pursuing Rodgers. That seems like there was finality here. That's what it seemed like. But when you follow it up with, they're not pursuing Rodgers at this time. McCarthy now enters the offseason as QB1. If Rodgers is willing to wait, and if Rodgers is willing to be a drama whore, which we know he's willing to do, because at this rate, all right, the Vikings told you thanks, but no thanks today, Aaron. Why aren't you already signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Why isn't this already done? Because I think this is Minnesota saying, we're good with J.J. McCarthy, but we're at least willing to scratch that itch if, Aaron Rodgers, you come crawling, you come begging, and you basically say, guys, I'll play at a very, and I mean a very small price tag. And even then, Minnesota may not say, hey, we're rocking and rolling with you. But I don't even think Minnesota is going to consider the possibility of Aaron Rodgers and seriously consider the possibility of Aaron Rodgers until Aaron gets down on one knee and basically says, pretty, pretty please, Kevin O'Connell, I'm imploring you. I need a home. I need Justin Jefferson. I need Jordan Addison. I need T.J. Hockenson. I need to reunite with Aaron Jones. I need to play indoors. I need to play back in the NFC North. That's the only way. If Rodgers, who is desperate right now, finally starts to show his desperation and is willing to take a deal that is so small. Because Minnesota has built this team telling you, we're going to cheap out on the quarterback. We are not going to pay the quarterback a king's ransom right now. And until Aaron is willing to play that game, I think by the Pelissero reporting, there's still a door open. But until he's willing to play that game, I don't even think the Vikings are going to consider Aaron Rodgers. Now, if I'm running the team, I'm telling Aaron, this is it, this is over, and we're going to J.J. McCarthy. And can I sit here and say that J.J. McCarthy is going to be a great quarterback in this league? No. But here's what I know about J.J. McCarthy. 27-1 at Michigan. National champion J.J. McCarthy. Walked in Michigan, got spanked around all the time by Ohio State. He goes in, he tells everyone, calm down, relax, we're going to save the program. We're going to turn the program around. And he smacked Ohio State three times. Beat him three times, J.J. McCarthy. So, and won two Big Ten championships and won a national championship. So when I look at J.J. McCarthy, do I think J.J. McCarthy, who was a game manager in college, well, actually, he beat Ohio State three times. They beat him four straight years. Sorry, they beat Ohio State so many times, I'm losing track. And you know me, guys, I'm not great when it comes to math. So I may have shortened that of a Big Ten championship. I may have shortened that of another victory up against Ohio State. But anyway, that's what happens when you're king. That's what happens when you keep on beating up Ohio State. But the bottom line is, when J.J. McCarthy was at Michigan, everyone says, oh, great offensive line, Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, game manager. All those things are true. But can you really remember his wide receivers? You really remember Roman Wilson, Cornelius Johnson? Like, come on. This guy will be asked to do more in Minnesota. They believe in him for a reason with the Minnesota Vikings. And he has a great 1-2 punch at wide receiver. He has a very good backfield, and he's got a coach who just won Coach of the Year. And last year, because of the injury, he got to sit, react, watch, listen, and take it all in from the sideline. So do I think when J.J. McCarthy is asked to do more, when J.J. McCarthy is thrown in as QB1, that he could be good in Minnesota? I do. Do I know that he could be great? That I do not know. But I think this is the perfect storm and the perfect time. Like, this is the time to go to J.J. McCarthy. So even if Aaron Rodgers, ayahuasca Aaron, comes running back or crawling back, because he's on that ayahuasca stuff, and very slowly says to you that he will take a cheap deal and he will do, you know, a very, very small salary, you may think about it, but I still don't anticipate Kevin O'Connell to say, okay, we're rocking and rolling, and we're going with Aaron Rodgers. It just feels like, I've been saying it for the last month, I'll continue to say it, it just feels like with their formula, what they want to do, how they constructed this football team, right now is the perfect time to go to J.J. McCarthy. It really is. And, right, Matthew Collar, who joined us last week, he was even talking about how he was pressing in the offseason. And he didn't think that Sam Darnold necessarily, if J.J. was healthy, you know, could have held on to that job for the entirety of the season. Even with that, well, at times, that Sam Darnold did play. And you know what? I'll tell you this. Even though it's Sam Darnold, that's a pretty low scale. If you tell me that J.J. McCarthy was going up against the Lions, would he have done better than what Sam Darnold did at the end of the season? I think so. Would you have told me if the Vikings had J.J. McCarthy at the end of the season up against the Rams? I'm not saying they would have won the game, but he would have played better than Sam Darnold? I think so. Because J.J. McCarthy, say what you want about him, question him, doubt him, be a hater, dude's a winner. And I don't think he may not have won those games, but I don't think he would have urinated down his leg like Sam Darnold did up against the Lions and the Rams. I do not. So J.J. is now the man in Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers, they're not pursuing him for now, unless if he begs, and then I still think they would say thanks, but no thanks. And for the future of Aaron Rodgers, you know, you put a gun to my head and say, where is he going? I still think he goes to Pittsburgh, but clearly He will talk himself into wanting to go to Pittsburgh and how, oh, this is where he always wanted to go, blah, blah, blah. All the respect for Mike Tomlin. You know, you got DK Metcalf. You got George Pickens. You know, he'll play it up. There's no doubt about it. But let's be real. The fact that he still hasn't made a decision yet just shows you that he's content with going to Pittsburgh, but he doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh. He wants to go to Minnesota. And the fact that he still hasn't made this decision yet, and in all likelihood, probably won't even make it this week. You know, I'd be surprised. It's Wednesday. Watch, we'll get breaking news in 5 minutes. But I'd be surprised today, Thursday, Friday, when we do three more shows during the week, if we're getting Aaron Rodgers news that Aaron Rodgers has picked his destination. I'd be surprised by that. And the fact that that's going to continue to linger, and the longer it lingers, just continues to make it a thing of, do you really want to go to Pittsburgh? Even though Pittsburgh is a fine destination. But the more this waits after the Vikings said no, it just doesn't make sense to me then why Aaron wouldn't swoop in and immediately make his decision and continue his football career. But I would say that Aaron's going to be starting for the Steelers next year. All right, we'll go to Luke Hancock next. The former Louisville star will join us. We'll talk a little NCAA tournament, talk about his old coach and Rick Pitino, who is in the NCAA tournament with St. John's as a number 2 seed. Louisville, right? Excellent job by Pat Kelsey. They'll be going up against Creighton, a fun 8-9 matchup. We got a whole lot of ACC, a whole lot of NCAA tournament talk, and we'll do so next. All right, NCAA tournament, great time of the year, obviously. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in an NCAA champion at Louisville, was the Final Four outstanding player back in 2013. Now does a kick-ass job with ESPN and the ACC Network, and that's Luke Hancock here with us. Luke, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Best time of the year. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so is this right? The NCAA, right, they acknowledge you won the most outstanding player, but the tournament, they still say, is vacated and doesn't exist. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I guess I'm the most outstanding player of a tournament that didn't happen in the NCAA's eyes, but we don't really listen to them very often.
It's so stupid, and I'm sorry to bring it up this way, but when I was going through, obviously, your career before the show, I'm like, oh, they gave him back the acknowledgement of the most outstanding player, but they still don't acknowledge the championship. I hate that part of the NCAA, and I think it's just so silly that they haven't acknowledged you guys as champions since then.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the way the NCAA runs things very often, but I think they continue to kind of shoot themselves in the foot, but honestly, it hasn't changed very much for me whether we got the MOP back or not. You know, we played the games. This time of year still brings back the greatest memories. I do think it's the best time of the year.
Well, let's get to Louisville this year. I remember when we were talking when that job was open last year, and I'm like, all right, obviously you got to call Scott Drew. When he says no, to me it should have been Dusty May or Pat Kelsey. Obviously, they did go with Pat Kelsey, and man, what a job he's done here in year number one as they're set seated as an 8th seed going up against Creighton. And quite frankly, I kind of liked it when they showed Pat Kelsey. He's like, wow, I thought we were going to be seated a lot higher. You could just tell the reaction, and he has a good argument to make there. But what a year it's been for Louisville.
Yeah, what an unbelievable year. I think they tied at this point most wins season to season in ACC history. And I think it's coming off the COVID year for some other teams. So there's obviously a different situation there. But he's definitely reinvigorated the entire fan base. I mean, watching games this year, I'm usually working games, so I don't hear the sound. But when I did, there was always a moment where announcers just kind of sat back and they just listened. And it was all of them talking about, this is awesome to have Louisville basketball back. I know that community has been so excited to see the job that Pat Kelsey has done. Every time I talk to him, he seems to be on the double shot of espresso. He's got all the energy in the world. I wish I had that kind of energy waking up every day, but the fan base has really gotten behind these guys. It's been awesome to watch. And you mentioned the seed. I think when you look at the bracket as a whole, I think West Virginia probably has the biggest gripe for not being in the tournament. I think number 2 is probably Auburn. And number 3 is Louisville. And I've been the 8th seed playing for George Mason. I've been the number 1 overall seed playing for Louisville. I cannot imagine if I'm Auburn having to go play the number 10 team in the country as my second game potentially. Now, Creighton's a great team. This is going to be a great battle. But if they get through that game, you have a relative home game for Louisville as the number 10 team in the country playing the number 1 overall seed. That's bad news for Auburn. I think they could still win that game, certainly. But a heck of a test early on in the tournament for sure.
And quite frankly, when I look at all the first round matchups as they get underway tomorrow, that 8-9 matchup of Louisville Creighton, it's the one that I first circled. I think that's the most exciting first round matchup.
I mean, I would agree. I'm probably a little biased on that one. There's some great storylines in some of the first round matchups. Those 8-9 games, I think all across the regions, they really sold those to be primetime battles. I love Georgia-Gonzaga, for example. I think that's going to be a great battle with big-time athletes and some guys that will be definitely playing at the next level. I think it's a really interesting matchup with Louisville-Creighton. Obviously, Ryan Kalkbrenner in the middle is an absolute monster in there. And if you look at Louisville, probably the weakness is defending some great front court players. They got worn down a little bit against Duke in the ACC championship. But, you know, again, back and forth. So Creighton gets worn down a little bit by the pace and the guard play in the St. John's game in the Big East final in that second half as well. So, again, I think it's going to be fantastic. Two great coaches. And I think both teams in that battle probably not seeded correctly. I think they should have been a little lower, both of them.
Luke Hancock here with us. I know that you talked about West Virginia having a gripe. UNC blew out San Diego State last night. What does that win say for UNC? Did maybe some people a little bit too harsh about UNC, or do you still think those criticisms of the resume of UNC were valid?
Oh, I think people were way too harsh. You know, you can say this team or that team on the bubble. We always have some kind of gripe. But I got to see UNC up close and personal, especially the last 10 or so games of the season. And I know the eye test isn't everything. People want to harp on one metric. Their quad run resume is what it is. And if you want to say that's the end all be all, that's what you're going with, yeah, okay, then they shouldn't have been in. But if you check out their net, if you check out what Bartorvik has them ranked the last month of the season, you know, we don't have a recency bias in the way the metrics work anymore. That's part of the eye test. And so seeing them up close and personal, every bracket that I filled out had UNC not winning one game, but winning multiple games in the tournament. And I no shock at all that they played as well as they did last night, especially having their chip on a shoulder, not just because of what people said, but the way their ACC tournament ended.
And it's been a rough few days for the West Virginia fan, right? Not only did you not make the NCAA tournament, and Darren DeVries, after 1 year, he goes to Indiana. When you saw that move go down, what was your first reaction to that?
Just what you said. That's a real rough week for West Virginia basketball because he did a fantastic job this year. I thought when the committee came out and talked about Tucker not playing for them as a reason that they weren't in the NCAA tournament, it just was such a head scratcher, a big question mark. You know, the guy hasn't played since December 6th. How that could factor in? That'd be like saying, you know, Case and Pryor for Louisville is the reason why they're seated as high as they are. Well, if your resume still says that you should be an NCAA tournament team, the fact that the guy hasn't played the last 3 months absolutely shouldn't matter. You know, it's great that he got that job in Indiana. I think he's a great coach, but West Virginia's on the search for their next coach. And I think they may have taken a little bit of a chance to get him into West Virginia. So I'm sure that hurts West Virginia fans that he's kind of in and out, but certainly leaves the program in a better place as well.
I know we're a prisoner of the moment, so I'm just using two previous examples. Dusty May goes to Michigan, boom, instant success. Pat Kelsey this year goes to Louisville, boom, instant success. Do you think Darren DeVries could have that instant success and a little Kelsey and May impact in year one with the Hoosiers coming up down the road?
I absolutely do. I think it's obviously good that these coaches are coming in and having success in year one. I think it's putting some pressure on other coaches around the country, right or wrong. I don't know if that's always perfect because you look at a situation like Missouri and Dennis Gates, you know, great year one, really struggles in year two. And then this year they've had a fantastic year again. So I'm not one for making a quick decision and pulling coaches and firing them early. But I think guys like Pat Kelsey and Dusty May have certainly put pressure on these other places. But ultimately, if you go to a place like Indiana, you have a coach that can get the job done and you pair that with the resources. It is quite obvious that Indiana has the resources to compete at the highest level. Their team was really talented. They just didn't seem to gel the right way. So it's not just having the money. As Nick Saban says, you got to pay the right guys. So we'll see the job he does in Indiana. But I would be putting my money on Coach DeVries to do a great job.
Kevin Keats was in the Final Four last year with NC State, a remarkable run. A year later, he's out of a job. When something like that happens, It's like, okay, you got to go then get a big name. I think it was the worst kept secret out there that Will Wade was eventually going to get that job. Jeff Borzello, right before you got on board with us, tweeted out, McNeese's Will Wade has reached an agreement to become the next head coach at NC State. Sources confirmed to ESPN. First reported also by Joe Giglio. Wade has won 57 games over the last two seasons at McNeese. Went to five NCAA tournaments at LSU and VCU. You know, we all knew it was going to happen. He was openly talking about how he told his players he's been talking to NC State. But right before you get McNeese and Clemson, it is unfortunate for the kids that they find out that their coach is definitely leaving before they get to play in that first round game, even though he's going to coach in the game.
Yeah, Zal, I will say, you know, the environment's different nowadays. Like, these kids have all elevated their platform playing for Will Wade and McNeese State. You know, it's not to say he can't take some of those guys. I'm sure he won't take the entire team. But their platform's going to be elevated. They hit the portal. They make more money. So I think, you know, as a guy who transferred 10 years ago, a little more than that, feels like 100 years ago because the situation was just so different with my sit-out year and just the way this transfer portal works nowadays. I was really happy when Jim Larrañaga left George Mason and went to Miami because – you know, he got a better job. He went to the ACC. That was a dream of his to get back there after being an assistant at Virginia for so long. That's how you need to do this environment now. I think you can't hold grudges. Transfers are certainly not looked at it the way they used to be. And the environment's going to change all the time. So I think you have a coach, you have players who put the program and themselves in a better situation when they leave. And almost every team across the country has guys who move in and out. You got to kind of keep a smile on your face and take the most positive approach possible. And like I said earlier, some of these programs that are having coaches leave too early, they're firing guys quickly. I'm not necessarily for that. You know, Kevin Keats is like family to me. I played for him at Hargrave and at Louisville. I thought, man, give that guy another opportunity. Come on, especially with the buyout money being what it was. It is what it is. It's a fast-moving business, and I think you're going to see some programs do it like that, and some programs do it like Virginia Tech is doing with Mike Young, where they say, you know what, we just haven't given this guy enough resources. Let's put a real investment behind the program and see what this guy can do. I'm definitely for the latter there.
Let's get to your former coach, what Rick Pitino has done at St. John's. I know we shouldn't be surprised, but it is still surprising, especially living in this New York area, New York City area. You know, they win their first conference tournament championship since 2000. They're a number two overall seed. They're going to be playing in Providence up against Omaha. I know that you were able to get to a Johnny's game at the Garden last time we did, check in with you. But, man, what is there to say at this point about Rick Pitino? It's unbelievable.
Never a doubt. You know, I think Rick's one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the greatest. And there was no doubt that he would have St. John's basketball right back on top. I'm excited for him. The environment going to that UConn game was absolutely electric, and the Johnnies took care of business. The second half in that Creighton game for the Big East Championship, man, did it bring back memories. Wearing teams down, playing at that pace, it was so much fun to watch. And I'm really happy for Coach. Obviously, they've had a fantastic year. Thought the 2-seed was pretty fitting for them. My only gripe with Coach is that back when we played, we weren't even supposed to have Twitter. Again, it was a long time ago. But it was on the edge of when that was really getting going. He was very much against social media, and now the guy's going on Jimmy Fallon and having documentaries over the team. Things have really changed with Coach P, but it's awesome to see the exposure and him to get all this credit. You know, I'm a little shocked that he's going on as many sites and talking to as many people like Barstool Sports and whatnot as he is, but it's awesome people get to see a little bit more behind the scenes, and, you know, that's my coach. And even the stuff like seeing his halftime speech about battling adversity and that being about life, not just basketball. Where's your toughness? You know, I've heard those speeches a million times, and being in that locker room, there's just nothing like it. Coach can put confidence into players like no one else, especially when your back's against the wall. So I expect the Johnnies to do big things.
Yeah, I think he probably owes you a few suicide runs, right? You know, for talking to the media so much.
Well, he did just say, I'm not for suicides very often, and I agree with that. Like, we had really tough conditioning in the summertime, but once you got to season, I always felt like your conditioning should be in competing, and that comes from Coach Pitino, and I'll tell you what, you play the king of the court drills the way he does, you play in the press like he does in practice, tournament time is a huge advantage for the Johnnies, simply because games are dramatically easier than going to practice for Coach Pitino. I'll play back to back to back every day if I don't have to play another practice with Rick Pitino, because it was that intense every day.
Before we let you run, Duke, obviously a major storyline in this tournament. I hate to be like everybody else, but I got Florida and Duke in the national championship game with the Dukies cutting down the Nets, the Blue Devils. Well, Cooper Flagg, the injury is a storyline. They won an ACC championship when he was still hurt. We'll see if he's able to go in the first game and how effective he will be. But is Duke to you the best team in this tournament?
They are when healthy. So I'm with you. I watched the SEC tournament and saw what Florida looked like. They're pretty unbelievable. Great guard lineup. They've got depth with the bigs that are strong, athletic guys. But when Duke is healthy, yes, I think they're the best team in this tournament. I think there's a compounding effect, though. Jay Lucas, the defensive coordinator for Duke, leaves before postseason play really starts. I think that's substantial. The defensive coordinator for the number one defensive team in the country leaves before, you know, tournament time. That's got to mean something. And then you add Cooper Flagg with Malik Brown. Malik Brown is a backup center but plays a ton of minutes, especially for particular matchups, like when they played Auburn early in the year. Malik Brown guarded Jahni Broome most of that game. So he's a guy that allows them to switch 1 through 5, play on the perimeter defensively a little bit more, and is a big piece. He dislocated his shoulder in the ACC tournament. Now, he can come back from something like that. You're going to have surgery later on, I'm sure, and that's come from somebody with 3 scars here and 5 scars here. I've torn both my shoulders up. So he can play potentially if he can. And Cooper Flagg is ready to go. I do think Duke is the most talented team in this tournament.
He's Luke Hancock. Of course, you can catch him on the ACC Network, ESPN, 93.9 The Ville. Luke, always appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. Happy hoops.
You got it. There he is, Luke Hancock, who won a national championship at Louisville, was a most outstanding player in the Final Four. Kind enough to join us right there for a few minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. Let's get into Will Wade going to NC State. Also, Indiana landing Darren DeVries. We'll do all that on the other side. Update, though, time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. And it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listeners, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb. Using the hashtag AskThePros, be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stuart Kovacs is back with us after taking the last 2 days off. Stu's very close friend had a wedding, got married, and Stu was the best man. Did you have to give a speech? I'm assuming no?
No speeches.
Wow. No speeches at all.
No speeches at all.
Kind of actually like that.
Me too.
Now, were you at the, was there a rehearsal dinner?
There was, yes.
Was there a speech at the rehearsal dinner?
No speeches there either.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it's been a popular thing now to do a lot of the speeches or all the speeches, maybe, but like one at the rehearsal dinner. But I kind of like a wedding with no speeches. Now, did you feel like there needed to be a speech at the wedding at all?
No, it was pretty perfect. It was the right amount of food, the dinner, the dancing was great. The DJ was great. I don't think it needed it.
Yeah, because I'm usually, like, when you get too many speeches, it's not good.
Yeah.
I'm good with, like, one speech at a wedding, because then it also breaks up the wedding a little bit and gives you a second to go sit down and kind of just relax and chill out. But that's interesting. Were you nervous about giving a speech, potentially? Or was it made pretty clear that when you were the best man, like, hey, there's going to be no speeches at this point?
No, I mean, I thought about it, and it was told to me afterwards, maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, that they weren't doing speeches. And I was like, oh, fine. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So what other responsibilities did you have?
I carried the rings.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of pressure.
That was a lot of pressure. I think that was enough in itself.
I think I'd have a heart attack, honestly. I would be so paranoid. There's times where, like, I'll charge my phone and I'll walk away and I keep on reaching into my pocket thinking my phone's going to be there. I could not imagine having 2 rings in my pocket worth a pretty penny and just sitting down and maybe they fall out of your pocket or something like that. Oh, I couldn't deal with that anxiety.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I checked my pocket like 200 times in the short amount of time that I had them in my pocket, which was probably like 20 minutes or something.
Now, let's not bury the lead. I heard you got a cheesesteak, correct?
I did.
Where'd you go?
Del Santos.
There we go. Yes. You didn't do Pats and Geno's.
Did not do Pats and Geno's.
What was your honest review of Del Santos?
Much better.
Oh, yeah. You were having basically cat food at the other place.
Yeah. The steak was better, more cut up. Mm-hmm. I think Pats is just, they just kind of like lay it on there.
Did you get the onions?
I got the onions.
Okay. Did you do the banana peppers?
Did not.
Okay. Yeah, that's like a little trick there.
Okay.
I think they have banana peppers and they have red crushed peppers. I'm very simple with the cheesesteak. It's usually just onions, right? The bread and the meat. That's usually what I end up doing for a cheesesteak. But at Del Sandro specifically, I will get the banana peppers and the red crushed peppers.
Okay.
Only place that I'll end up doing.
Next time I'll do that.
Yeah. How was the wait? Was it a long wait or no?
Ordered right away. Waited like 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's some operation.
Not bad
there.
At all. Yeah. Very quick. So I was very happy with that.
Well, I'm glad that you got a good cheesesteak. That's a top five cheesesteak in Philadelphia. So you didn't go to Angelo's? I know that you
Closed
wanted to go
Mondays.
To Angelo's.
Close Mondays, yeah.
Well, I guess we should do a cheesesteak day as a show. Like, we should
Love
go to that Danny
yeah.
and Coop's place, because that's basically Angelo's, just in New York City. The problem is, though, I think we'd have to all call out sick. You want to do that? Well, I know our boss is listening. He was just talking to me about a segment that he liked. And my J.J. McCarthy take. You know, David, we're going to call in a sick day. We're going to call out. All right? We're going to say, hey, we're sick. The whole show got sick. We got the Tracy Morgan food poisoning, right? That's what we ended up getting. Now, we're not going to have to throw up and all that stuff and be courtside at the Knicks just projectile vomiting. But maybe we just use a Zach Gelb show sick day. We could do that once a year where the whole show just calls out sick. Who knows who they would have hosts? Who knows who they would produce? Who knows who would also run the board? Quite frankly, we'll tell ACT to call out as well. So who knows who will do the update? We always care. One day we'll just be like, bleep it. We don't care for a day. And we'll go get a cheesesteak. And the reason why is if I go to Danny and Coop's and get a big cheesesteak at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock, there's no way I'm going to want to go in here and do a radio show for 3 hours when I'm just stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey, for crying out loud. So you down with that, Samter and Stu, that we'll just all we'll gather up all together and just all call out sick?
Maybe we can have the YouTube chat host the show.
That wouldn't be bad.
Ooh.
Daly would be a good host. What's in there?
Two-Ton Tony?
Yeah.
I'd be worried about Two-Ton.
Billy Wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really dangerous.
Maybe we get some people, even some of the people that don't like me.
We'll call Sully in. Sully will fly in on his private jet. Sully will be the host of the show.
Yeah, Sully would be great. You know, we could definitely have a few people end up hosting the show from the YouTube chat. There's one guy, I forget his name. Oh, he hates my guts. Absolutely hates my guts. He hasn't been in the chat for a while, even though he listens all the time, because earlier in the football season, he was telling me how my picks sucked. And then I was 10 games above 500 at the end of the year. I forget who it was, but when I was off one day, when I was in Florida, I tuned in for about 5 minutes on the YouTube chat, and I saw that guy was here, and he was like, oh, I'm just here today because Zach isn't here. You know, let's have Gresh replace Zach in the afternoons. So whoever that guy is, I forget who that was.
I think his name was Michael Samter.
Oh, yeah? You hate me that much?
Yeah, I think that's the guy.
Yeah, I forget who the guy's name is, but whoever the guy's name is that hates my guts. Maybe he could host the show. I always say that. The people that hate you the most, I would love for them to come on in here and come host the show for 3 hours. Let's see what they have. And then I could play the role of the troll. Anyway, let's get back to Indiana, and let's get to NC State. Indiana hiring Darren DeVries. This is a hire that I love. Like, last year, I was all in on Pat Kelsey to Louisville, and I was all in on Dusty May to Michigan. I sat, there's a new guy that works here, Greg Frank, who I went to college with. And Greg is doing some stuff behind the scenes. And Greg goes, oh, you love Dusty May. You love Pat Kelsey. And I ended up being right. You know, Dusty May, year one, Michigan, 5-seed, Big Ten champs, NCAA tournament. Year one for Pat Kelsey, Louisville, 8-seed, should have been seeded higher, NCAA tournament. So those were two exceptional hires. And we'll see how they end up aging. And it's only 1 year. Let's not go nuts. But Darren DeVries was someone that I liked last year when he came on the show from Drake. And you knew that he was overdue to get a bigger job. He gets West Virginia, which is a very good job. But then Indiana opens up. And you know what? If I'm an Indiana fan, I'm excited. Like, no offense, Mike Woodson was a fine coach, but were you really excited when Mike Woodson was the coach? No. You needed someone that was younger. You needed someone with more energy, more personality, right? That's going to lay into the NIL and the transfer portal and all the nonsense that goes on now in college basketball. And I say nonsense, that comes off in a bad way. I don't mean it that way. I'm not anti-NIL or transfer portal. But I think that this is a move for Indiana. If Darren DeVries can't get it moving back in the right direction, then who the heck is? Right? I know you said that with Miller when he was there, but like seriously, who the heck is? So I thought this was a very good hire. And this was one that I didn't see coming, right, when you found out that Indiana was opening up and they were getting rid of Mike Woodson. You know, I'll give credit to Luke Hancock, though, because we were in the newsroom, Ack and I, when we found out that Will Wade, right, that's going down, and that's going to happen, that Will Wade's going to NC State. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate for the kids, right? They're playing in the NCAA tournament. He's still going to coach in the NCAA tournament, but it's like a distraction you don't need to deal with before, you know, you have McNeese go up against Clemson. But the way Luke Hancock said it is he's probably going to take some of those players with him, you know, to NC State. So there's so much change in, you know, the world of players. You know, I wouldn't like for that to be out there publicly, right, with all the reporting. But, you know, I heard the coach say, I think it was earlier this morning or maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, my players are honest with me. I'm honest with my players. Yeah, I've been talking to NC State. And I didn't say he was taking the job then, but he said that he's been talking to NC State. So it's a little bit unfortunate, but you know, with Luke Hancock's, you know, experience, George Mason and Louisville and transferring around, and now what goes on now, you know, I think that he kind of laid it out perfectly. Where, yeah, my first reaction was, oh, that stinks for the kids, but a lot of those kids are probably going to follow Will Wade, and not all of them, from McNeese to NC State. And Will Wade's a good coach. You know, if it wasn't for the scandal and them starting to lose a little bit, he probably would still be at LSU. But he's a really good coach. He deserves a bigger job. Did I have his next big job be at NC State 2 months ago? No, but once they got rid of Keats and they go to him, and that was speculated, you knew that was going to end up going down, and it's a good hire for NC State.